He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge podcast. First lounge here in a while. It's my summer vacation, so I feel I don't like bugging too many people during their summer vacations. Even though like this is probably the time to grab people, you know, especially other people and do home and homes. Maybe I'll start bugging like Jovan and the Kamenetsky brothers and Pete and stuff like that. But today on the show, as you guys can see, we have a terrible hat, and sitting underneath that hat is Harrison Fagan. How you doing, bud?
Despite that intro where you're like, you know, guys, I'll try and get you some better guests down the line. I'll see what I can do. I'll maybe get on that. I was doing better before that, but I'm still doing well.
I never said better. I said other.
That was the implication, though. You're like, well, I just got Harrison for you today. Let me see if I can get the Kamenetsky brothers, or, you know.
You are one of one person who would take it that way. Like, you're the only person who would.
Built different, you know.
Yeah.
I can recognize slights. I have a Jordan-esque ability, you know.
Yeah. Today on the show, we are going to be talking about Jerami Grant. And I have noticed it's a very summer debate. It's a very July/August debate that I've seen on Lakers Twitter, within Lakers Twitter.
To me, everything after summer league is August. It doesn't matter. I know that it's still technically July, but that's August. The NBA, NBA August is from like July like 20th until like September 4th
or
like,
whatever.
Yeah, like 15th, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's all August.
Well, you know what? July 1st through September 14th is August to Rob Pelinka, it turns out. So today on the show, we're going to be talking about Jerami Grant. We're going to be talking about a subject that like really seems to get people going, like whenever I mention it. I feel like at this point I'm taking crazy pills because there are enough people disagreeing with me about this. But I'm going to ask Harrison if this roster, not the Lakers, but if this roster is worse right now than the last time we saw them play. And if so, what that means for our expectations for JJ Redick. This is the first time that we've talked to Harrison in a little while, and this is going to be the last time that we talk to Harrison for a little while, as he is heading out on vacation. So this is going to be kind of one of those wandering pods. And at the end of it, if there's time, I want to talk about our nerdy stuff, the Marvel revelation that we just got recently about Robert Downey Jr. coming back, and House of the Dragon, and what we thought about the season, and Star Wars, and how we felt about Acolyte as well. So plenty of stuff to get to. A quick reminder, please do hit that subscribe button if you guys are watching live on YouTube right now, or if you're watching the recorded version, hit that subscribe button so that you don't miss the next time that we're live. If you guys are watching on Twitter, please head on over to youtube.com/@LakersLounge and hit the subscribe button there. And then if you guys are listening to this in pod form, please hit that subscribe button. However it is that you get your pods, preferably on Odyssey, and tell your friends that you love the show, tell your enemies that you hate it, and let's get this thing, or keep this thing growing on into the NBA's winter cycle. But yeah, let's start, Harrison, with this Jerami Grant thing. I have noticed, well, do you think we should separate it from Price, or do you want to talk about Jerami Grant, the basketball player, first?
I mean, I think we could talk about both at the same time. I mean, they tie into each other. I don't know that you really can talk about one without talking about the other, at least within a Lakers context, because it's like, I mean, the price to get him is part of the calculus in determining like what level of player he is.
So I think easily the most popular stance is that nobody, like very, very few people, I think, are interested in giving up two first rounders for Jerami Grant. The contract, there's some player questions.
I think if there is a GM 30. That is interested in doing that, they should be like preemptively fired. Like, I think bringing that to your owner and being like, yeah, two firsts, I think, for this guy, like on one of the worst contracts in the league, hasn't played hard in like 3 years, you know, it could work for us. I feel like that's like, that is a fireable offense.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Joe Cronin is hoping that somebody is willing to get fired for Jeremy Grant, somebody comes along and risks it all for Jeremy Grant. I tend to agree. I've maintained in my reporting that the Lakers, like, there was that quick report that the Lakers, like, I don't know if it was framed this way or whatever, but that the Lakers got right to the finish line in a trade involving two first rounders and whatever contracts that would have gone back the other way for Grant, and that Rob Pelinka got cold feet right at the very, very end.
Good. Rob should get credit for that.
It never got that far. Like, okay. I've been told, like, repeatedly that the Lakers have never shown very much interest in Jeremy Grant for two first round picks. It's really this simple, Harrison.
Good.
Jeremy Grant.
They should not be. There's no world where they should be doing that.
Well, like, the Trailblazers didn't even think that he was worth two first rounders when they traded for him. Like, when they traded for Jeremy Grant a couple years ago, they gave up one. And then, there was less contracts and stuff that were involved. And there was a trade exception that was created and stuff like that. But, like, I don't understand how Joe Cronin can give up one first rounder for Jeremy Grant, watch two kind of meh seasons from his team since, and then now demand of everybody that he talks to, you have to give up more than we gave up for him. After, by the way, we signed him to this albatross of a contract that was only given to him because he was Dame's buddy at the time, and Dame was going to be in Portland playing with Jeremy Grant, we thought, for at least a chunk of that contract. Turns out that's not how things would play out. Dame
was voluntarily with them for about 12 hours after the contract was signed. Involuntarily with them for a couple more months, but not actually into the season, you know.
Imagine Dame having like a capologist friend who like showed Dame like what that contract is going to do to Portland's books moving forward. And Dame is like, ooh.
It's like, well, man, I'm not going to mess with my guy's bag, but I got to get out of here. This is not a good idea.
So we won't. I don't even think it's worth having the conversation.
Dame would know something about being on a bad contract. So
what's that?
You know, Dame would know something about being on like a bad contract that's like more than you're worth at this stage of your career, and so he could sniff that out, I think.
His capologist never mentions the damage that Dame's contract does to team's books.
Yeah.
But no, I don't even think it's worth wasting the oxygen that it would take to have a conversation about whether or not Jeremy Grant, like, you know, bring him in no matter the price. Cause I just think, like, the people who say that, I think, are more frustrated that the Lakers haven't done anything than they are actually interested in Jeremy Grant.
With all due respect to anyone saying that is insane. You know, I'm not going to sit here and defend Rob Pelinka. I've roasted Rob Pelinka for like the last year and a half, you know, pretty much nonstop, you know, but him not giving up two first round picks for Jeremy Grant is like, that is that's on the good side of the ledger.
Yeah.
Anthony, he is making $100 million American in the 3 years after this season.
Well, like the problem is that it'd be one thing if the Lakers had their own bloated contract to send back.
Yeah.
You know, like, it'd be one thing if the Lakers
had... Russ was still on the team, I'd be like, hell yeah, bring in Jeremy Grant. It's time.
then you're giving up one first to get off of Russ, and then you're giving up a first to get Jeremy Grant, which was, you know, what we thought the situation was going to be. The problem with like trading for Grant is that, and this, by the way, is going to be the situation here moving forward for all teams in this CBA. There are going to be very, very few teams that have fat on their books moving forward, right? Like, this new CBA basically demands everybody trim up their stakes to the point where you are just just cooking meat from now on. And I think, you know, from the Lakers standpoint, giving up two firsts And the contracts that you'd be sending back are at least going to be, you know, like they're all going to be rotation minutes. They're all going to, it's going to be, they don't want D'Lo, I've been told time and time and time again.
I mean, they have 97 point guards already. That would be sort of weird if they did want D'Lo. Their whole roster is just point guards and centers. It's a bizarre roster.
I've heard that like the trade conversation that the Lakers felt got the furthest was involving Vando and Rui going to Portland, and then like getting to the trades, you know, to the draft stuff later. But those are the two players that that Portland wants the most. I wouldn't give up both wings for Grant. I was going to say,
like, are we sure that Jeremy Grant at this stage is better than Rui for this team? Like, significantly better to the point that he's worth that contract?
Yeah. I think he's better than Rui. I don't think he's better than Rui.
I think he's better than Rui. But is he, like, a first-round pick plus Rui's less bad contract better when, again, you know, we come back to this every time, but, you know, we haven't addressed it yet this show. Again, LeBron and AD both want to play power forward at times and both need to play power forward at times. And Jeremy Grant is not a wing anymore.
Yeah, I tend to think that my problem with evaluating Rui is that like the highs have been so high and the lows have been so low, right?
Yeah, this
the
is
the last
not
time
me,
we saw him,
like,
he was borderline unplayable in the last playoff series.
Yeah, no, I mean Rui has a lot of problems and a lot of weaknesses, but I don't know that he's like significantly worse than this version of Jeremy Grant. Like people are thinking about like Jeremy Grant, wing stopper, hard nosed defender, whatever. He hasn't been that guy in like 3 years.
No. No. And like at this point, you've developed habits and been paid for those habits for so long now and paid so well for those habits that.
And he's a guy that left a winning team in the Nuggets so that he could go chuck up 20 shots a game with the Pistons. Like this is clearly not a guy who like values winning, or he values winning on his contract. But I don't know that he values winning like basketball games.
I think that's kind of unfair because I think he thought that he could help a team win in a bigger role. More than he was, you know, helping the Nuggets and in the role that he had. Like, I don't hold
he's
it
like, you know what, Nikola Jokic, I think he's got to clear out for me.
He might have bad instincts, but I don't hold it against guys for wanting to see what they can do in a bigger role, right? Like
I mean,
we saw
out for him. He got a bag. So, I mean, good for him, but it's
also, right. Like we saw it with Kuz. Cause that is like your quickest path to a bag is that expanded role is, you know, and so like Kuz, like by the time Kuz was traded away from the Lakers, like it's not that he was demanding a trade or that he never wanted to return to the Lakers or anything like that, but he was like ready to kind of spread his wings and he did. And now he's paid significantly better than he was as a Laker and maybe that better than he ever would have been as a Laker. So like I get it there. The big one to me though, Harrison, is his like disinterest in being traded away from Portland. Because they very clearly don't match his timeline, right? Like they very, very clearly are not on the same timeline
like
as
he
is.
Like he has his kids in school there. He doesn't want to move them. Like,
I just don't think like you're like this is the point where I think we could talk about his disinterest in winning is that like he has other priorities above winning that have to do with family, have to do with the city. He loves Portland, according to anybody that you talk to, especially the guys that I've spoken
to. I've
heard,
really nice place. I can't blame him for that.
Yeah, I would love to live in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah,
like if Jen didn't have family out here and it wasn't as expensive as it is to live in the Pacific Northwest,
fairly expensive in Portland is my understanding. Yeah,
but when we moved away from California, like there were certainly conversations that Jen and I had. It's like, hey, it's really nice up there. We could still be kind of close to the coast. It'd be nice. But Jen wanted to be closer to her family out here. And now we're in Texas. But like, I think with Grant, that's the big speed bump that I keep on like hitting the brakes on before I'm willing to go over it is, man, he really seems to like losing in Portland. You know, like or man, he really seems to not care that much how much they've lost in his time in Portland. It's one thing in Detroit where, like, you get the bigger role, you get the bag for it, and you're like, all right, I've done this. I want to see what this is like. But the people that you talk to or the people that I've spoken to around the league have all said that, like, yeah, if he would like to be in LA and he'd like to do a little bit more winning than he's done in Portland or whatever, but, like, it's not the most important thing to him. And that terrifies me. Like, if the whole reason that the Lakers are trading for him is so that he would help them win, and he has that stance on winning, that's where I'm like,
like, that's the kind of guy where it's going to be like, where that he's going to come in and he's going to be like, you know what? It's time for me to focus in on defense and rebounding and, you know, just playing a role again and do it. No, I mean, he's like making $30 million a year to play LA Fitness pickup games, which is like, hey, I mean, he's living the dream. Good for him. But, you know, it's I mean, I don't think that that's like the kind of guy. And especially just like, you take all that intangible stuff out, whatever, like throw that to the side. Let's say like he comes here and he's totally focused on winning. And that is like, he really wants to be in LA and being around LeBron and it invigorates him as a competitor and all that stuff. He still just is not the greatest fit. And he's not on a very good contract. Like, to me, this is just, it's not the guy.
So what would you give up for Grant then? Like, what would you be willing to give up? Would you give up even a first rounder for him? Because I've heard, like,
I don't think,
know,
I
based
would,
on my, I saw your back and forth with Darius on Pete today, or with Darius on Twitter today, where it sounds like Darius is just like out, flat out, not interested in Jeremy Grant.
No, I would not attach a first round pick to take on that player or that contract in this roster. I think they're like, if you need sort of a four type guy on your team, like, that's the one area that the Lakers don't have any need. Their two best players both want to play a lot there. I just like, I don't think that he's like a good roster fit and a good use of your cap space in, you know, shout out Rob Pelinka, second apron world.
Yeah, I
would not give up a first for that contract. I just wouldn't. Not for this Lakers team.
If it was a protected first, I would give up a protected first for him. You know, if it
I mean, protected first is different. I mean, maybe
if it was like a lottery protected first, I think
I'm just not in on like the fit to me. And so it's like, it's not even just like giving up the first. You're giving up also the chance to use that first in a different trade for a player that fits better, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. I mean,
and I know beggars can't be shooters.
We don't have very much evidence that Rob is going to give up that first rounder for anybody. But like, I guess that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, this to me just feels like the wrong move. Like, it just doesn't. It feels like it's not the same as the Russ thing because he's not making as much and it's not as bad of a fit. Like, there, you can sort of squint and see ways that it would be helpful on offense and defense and that sort of thing. And just like having that level of size on the court and that sort of stuff. But I mean, to me, it's just, again, it's like a square peg in a round hole. I just don't think that he really fills the needs that they need to solve.
Yeah, I would
like he's not a wing stopper. He's not going to take on like the hardest. I mean, you can put him on the hardest defensive guy every single night so that LeBron can rest. But like, that's not a role where he's just going to like lock that guy down and it's just no problem.
Yeah, he hasn't defended like that in a while and hasn't been interested in defending those guys in a while. Here's where the Lakers.
This year. It's like he's not getting younger either, you know?
Yeah, and that contract, you know, he'll be 34 by the time that it ends, or 30, almost 35 by the time
it ends. He shot below 50% from the field last year.
And
I know some of that is like he was just chucking up a lot of threes, like his three-point percentage was good. But, you know, again, it's like, I don't know. I'm not very in on him at all.
The one thing is, like, I do think he gives you some Vanderbilt insurance, because
do you want to pay $30 million a year for Vanderbilt insurance though?
Well, no, but I of course, Harrison, of course, like, and I guess I'm more talking now about like potential other wings that were like, me personally, I would rather trade for Bruce Brown. Like, he's at the top of my list. Like, he's the guy I would prefer to trade for, because he actually fills a need, because you could play him next to Austin. And he makes you better than if it's D'Lo there next to Austin. And by the way, for the matchup specifically against Denver, Denver has lost him and KCP in these two off seasons. And the Lakers are, if they're able to bring him in and no longer have D'Angelo Russell in that playoff series anymore. Like, I that to me would be my top priority, would be going after Bruce Brown. I'm more saying that, like, I've seen a lot of people talk about, like, there's no need to get another wing because the Lakers are going to be getting Jared Vanderbilt back this year. And I just,
no, I haven't heard that.
I haven't heard good enough things about Jared Vanderbilt's recovery to like go that far.
To me, he's like, he's just not a wing at this point in his career. And so he doesn't solve that need either.
Who?
Grant.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess
Dorian Finney-Smith is the only wing who would like give actual Jared Vanderbilt insurance if Vanderbilt isn't included in the trade. But the Grant thing is I think very much it has a lot to do with just general frustration about the Lakers front office. Look, you guys who have heard me talk enough about the front office understand that I am also very frustrated.
They have done a horrible job to get to this point. I'm not defending like the actions that have led to here. I just think you don't make it worse and dig the hole deeper by giving up a first for Jeremy Grant. God forbid, two firsts.
Yeah, I'm the same guy who just today tweeted out that I would prefer Guggenheim just buy majority stakeholdership from Genie, like, because they run the Dodgers the exact way that I would like to see the Lakers run. I'm not here like posting bail for Rob in any way, whatsoever for Jeremy Grant. The Grant thing is not something that like I would. If the Lakers are a meal, and it already has too much salt, I wouldn't douse it in the soy sauce that is Jeremy Grant. That's not what the Lakers need. Let's move on though, really quickly, or not really quickly at this point.
I just want to say, like, the number one mission right now should be at least don't make it worse. You know, like, if you're not going to be able to make it better, at least don't make it worse. And to me, that would make the situation worse potentially in the short term, maybe not, but definitely in the long term.
Yeah.
It's Jeremy like going Earl, all in, but you're like all in for like the sixth seed, you know, like that's not a move that significantly vaults them up the standings.
It is very Chicago Bullsy. I would agree.
The Bulls would trade for Jeremy Grant like that. That there's a team that'll give up.
Surprised they haven't.
Yeah, they're like, well, because Portland doesn't want Zach LaVine. That's the only reason. They probably would have given up a first and just like kept DeMar. And it's like Jeremy Grant, DeMar DeRozan, you know. Yeah.
Lonzo Ball's corpse.
Let's talk
about the roster in its entirety now. And I maintain,
well, Anthony, I think you, just really quick, we should go through the off-season additions and subtractions.
All right,
and we're done.
They have lost. we'll skip over the additions and we'll jump right into the subtractions. They have lost Torian Prince. And they have lost Spencer Dinwiddie to be replaced by Bronny James and Dalton Connect. This is where I feel like I'm taking crazy pills because like people were like going at me for saying this, but this roster is objectively worse in terms of NBA talent. It is worse right now. This is why I'm losing my mind. I feel like I'm losing my mind because I'm sitting here saying, this roster is worse, not arguably, depends on how you feel. So no, in terms of just raw talent across the roster, that the team right now is worse than the last time we saw them. That doesn't, however, mean that the Lakers are definitely going to be worse because we could see Jared Vanderbilt back. We could see Gabe Vincent help out next year. JJ might be better than Darvin Ham, but in terms of just talent on the roster, if the point of the offseason is to add talent to the roster, Rob Pelinka has completely and utterly failed.
I don't want to post bail for Rob here, but like, I don't know that I disagree, but I can't say that I agree either. I think it's like, it sort of comes down to like, what, you're trading Torian Prince for Dalton Connect. And it's like, he's probably a better fit for what the Lakers need. You know, like it's again, I mean, you're probably right. That
the
like,
idea of him is we don't.
Yeah.
We
like
can't
you're right that they're sure. probably worse in terms of like they have objectively like lost 2K talent points or whatever. But, you know, they have some injured guys coming back. Like, I don't know that they're actually functionally going to be worse. I think that they could be better for some of the coaching stuff that you mentioned or whatever. You know, like, I mean, yeah, Torian Prince is probably still at this point like a better overall player than Dalton Connect in the NBA. You know, I think we could probably guess.
Harrison, yeah. How can you say probably? We just saw he was like the fourth best Laker in the playoffs the last time we saw them.
That feels strong, but I mean, losing it's like losing fifth, him.
He was definitely
Dinwiddie,
one
like,
of the like he was the guy that you wanted the Lakers to close with. Huh?
Like, I just don't, I don't think Torian Prince is that great. Like, he's one of these guys that he sort of, you know, you watch him and he looks like he should be good, but he's really not that great. Like, I do not enjoy him.
Not saying I love Torian Prince. I just don't love replacing him and hoping that a rookie is going to definitely make up for his absence.
Well, I don't think it's just that. I mean, they're hoping that, you know, Gabe can play. They're hoping that Vando can play. Like, there's a lot of things that they're hoping to sort of like make up for that by committee. But I would argue that there were a lot of times last year where Torian Prince made the Lakers worse just because of how much he was being overused in sort of the wrong positions. And so to me, it's like, again, yeah, you're probably right that like the roster on paper is like a little bit worse, but I do think that there's context there to where it could still end up being better, you know, depending on, again, like if Vando and Gabe are back, to me, I don't know that you end up missing Prince all that much. And like if Connect can play, you know, I think that to me that seems, you know, I don't think that they're like better than they were last year, but I think they're probably about the same.
My problem with it is that like Prince signed
that's
elsewhere.
That's a lot of ifs, to be fair.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing is like, you know, as part of that whole blood feud that Lakers Twitter had with me that day, I did say like, here's everything that needs to go right for the Lakers to actually be better next year. Right. One, LeBron and AD need to be as healthy as they were last year, which in and of itself, like that's the beginning and the end. And that's the case for everybody in the league is that every team's best and second best player need to be healthy. But the problem is not every team's best and second best player is a 40-year-old and an oft-injured Anthony Davis, right? Like that's where I would say it's fair to point out how much the Lakers have riding on that. And then from there.
Yeah, I mean, I think in a lot of ways, depending on what they do with D'Lo and sort of what Austin looks like when he comes back, like, is he going to be a little bit better at some of the stuff that they asked him to do last year? You know, he's still young-ish. He still could theoretically improve at some things, but they are, you know, like they're still horribly equipped to deal with any Anthony Davis absence whatsoever. Like they're horribly equipped to deal with the minutes Anthony Davis doesn't play, much less if he misses games. Yeah. You know, like they're going to hemorrhage points again, most likely in those bench minutes. And, you know, I think that they are really, really in rough shape if he misses any time. And so I think to me, that's the big sort of hole on the roster. And so maybe you can argue like Grant, you know, helps there or something like that. But again, not really. I mean, what is he going to play center and cover up on? Like, yeah, I don't know. I think that they're really, really poorly equipped to deal with an Anthony Davis absence. I think that they can survive one off, you know, LeBron's resting tonight type games where they have enough sort of shot creation with Austin and D'Lo and, you know, Anthony Davis and all this stuff where like under the right circumstances, they can put together a competitive effort in nights LeBron is out. I do not think that's really the case in nights where Anthony Davis misses.
100%.
It's going to be a parade of layups to the rim.
To be fair, like AD is coming off of the healthiest season he has had as a Laker, right? Frankly, like his best season, you know, from start to finish that he's had as a Laker.
I still think 2019-20, but I mean, that last year has an argument for sure.
Well, the playoffs for sure.
He was a beast in the regular season that year, too.
He was.
And
he still could make
shots during that regular season.
Harrison, after the 19-20 season, people were saying he's the next Hakeem after 2019-2020 in the bubble.
Okay, but I'm talking about even previous to the playoffs. Like he was. Remember that game where he had like 30 free throws against the Grizzlies? Like he was a legit. Like he was creating offense himself. That's just not something he really does anymore. And like I think he was just at a different level athletically that season than he is now. Like he's still obviously one of the top five athletes in the NBA, but he's no longer like number one by a mile, other than maybe Giannis.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, the next thing that needs to go right for the Lakers is the injuries that they do sustain. Like last year, remember how all of their injuries seemed to happen like in bunches, where like positional bunches or skill set bunches, where like all of their wings got hurt. And then at one point, all of their guards were hurt or tired.
I mean, that makes sense, though, on paper. I mean, your wife's a doctor. She could tell you this. It's like, hey, like, you know, we got to make up for our wing absence. So we're going to play our other wing 38 minutes a game. And it's like, well, you know, he might get hurt
like
too.
It makes sense in theory, but like the way that it played out wasn't that. Like they all, it was like they kept on bumping into each other in the hallway and missing time as a result of the collision. So like they need to go to get those, like if they, when they do sustain injuries, that, you know, ideally it would be a guard and a wing, or it would be a guard and a big, you know, or you know, however that
anyone
could
but
possibly
Anthony
look
Davis.
There. But like, you know, they just... like essentially like their luck in terms of the actual injuries, when they happen, the context of those injuries needs to improve compared to last year. Which is asking a lot when you're already asking LeBron and AD to be as healthy as they were last season.